Good morning, sir. What is your name?
Hold on, Mr. McCall.
Okay, Mr. McCall, hold on a moment. I believe we're supposed to try to get something on the phone for you, but they're just here, I believe. So that's what I show. You show that, Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Okay, just one?
Yeah, one give it a shot.
If you have just one, I have that one.
Okay. Yeah, just that one.
Okay, that's it.
I try to, and sometimes I don't.
Okay.
Hi, we have reached 513-297-8339. At the moment, I'm not able to answer your call. Please call back and have a God bless day.
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Good morning. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Commissioners. We have a message that you wish to participate in the hearing for your father this morning and for his parole hearing, and we're about to begin that hearing. We're sorry that we have not reached you as of this moment, but if you get this message within the next few moments, please give us a call back at 602-542-5656, and I will try to make another call maybe within the next 2 or 3 minutes if I have not heard from you. Thank you so very much, and please have a great, great morning. Thank you. Okay, Mr. McFarland, your sister was not available. Hopefully she'll call in or we'll try again in a few moments. Do you understand, sir? Hello, sir. Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, as I was saying, we tried to reach your sister, but she was not available. Hopefully she'll call back, and if not, we'll try to reach you a little later, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to turn the hearing over to the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. He will be the lead panelist for this hearing. So the next voice you hear will be the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Mr. Michael. How are you?
I'm good. Can you hear me clearly, sir?
Yes, sir, I can.
All right, so you're appointed for the Arizona Board of Executive Premacy. Would you state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record, sir?
Yes, it's Olaf McFall. 083844.
Okay, Mr. McFarland, I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, sir, we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. And to my immediate left, sir, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel lead today, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. McFarland, I am going to go over some information. And if some of it's not correct, then you can correct me on it. As I go through it, you are actually appearing before this board for a regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, you are actually serving a life sentence for armed robbery. You became parole eligible on August 23rd of 2015. At the time that you committed this offense, you were on parole, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. According to your progress release report, sir, it says that you were requesting to be placed on parole out of state to your sister, really, met Paul Collins. And you have the address listed on here. If not granted out of state parole, you will like to go back to coach on the street at 3205 Northwest Grand Avenue in Phoenix. Says that you do have financial assistance from your family, Ms. Collins, along with...
your brother, Skitty?
Yes. And your brother, Josh.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Says you don't need any counseling. Says you have not had... no disciplinary actions in the last 5 years. I do show that you do have an attachment of lots of programming that you have ascertained since you've been totally incarcerated, sir, which actually shows a variety of programming that you have taken since you've been in there, which is very good.
Thank you.
It also shows that you have several certificates that you, the issues that you've been in there. You've taken quite a bit. You did have some disciplinary actions prior to the last 5 years that you were incarcerated. However, I would say that that has been a kind of a minimal amount of disciplinary that you have for the amount of time that you've actually been incarcerated. So in the past, you do have an extensive criminal record for robbery and armed robbery, and you had one in Salina, Kansas, North Carolina, San Francisco. You also had an escape from prison. You had an armed robbery and attempted armed robbery. So that's all been in the past, but you do have a history of that. So I'm going back to your parole that you actually have had, and that you were actually first, you had a, your first hearing was in March of 95, in which you had a special hearing, which was denied, not recommended to the governor. You had another one in 96, which was not recommended to the governor. However, those look like on July 18th of 2016, you were released on home arrest status. You were granted home arrest status. And then it looks like you were out for, looks like about 3 months, and then you were revoked. And I think if I have the paperwork right, that it was revoked for use of alcohol. So you went back to prison in 2016. Then it looks like on 2017, July 25th of 2017, you was granted home arrest again. And it looks like you were out this time for 5 months. And then you had your parole revoked. This time you tested positive for cocaine and you had a revoked. Is that right?
No, sir, that's incorrect.
Okay.
There was a revocation, but it was because of pain medication, prescribed pain medication.
Okay.
And it wasn't cocaine, it was Tylenol.
All right, well, I was just going by some of the paperwork that I had. And when I looked it up, it said that you had a positive for cocaine. So I'll go there. So why did they revoke you for having Tylenol, sir?
On October the 11th, I have several medical issues, and I have sciatica. My dad went out, and I notified my parole officer, Mr. Van Gundy, and I did the program. They demanded that I go to urgent care. So I contacted Mr. Van Gundy and explained it to him, and he authorized that I go. In fact, he appeared at the clinic, and they gave me a shot and prescribed two medications, a 3-day prescription for Tylenol 3. The next day, my color came up, and I went to task, and I tested, and on the 18th of October, the test results came back, and it confirmed that I had codeine, which is one of the ingredients in Tylenol 3, and the confirmation test of that lab report, it confirmed specifically that the codeine or the opiate was codeine from Tylenol. I presented a copy of that prescription to the board when I went to the revocation hearing on December the 4th of 2017.
Okay, I'm looking at this and it does show that the word value was codeine. Codeine is not here and saying cocaine, the use of opiates and codeine is what it actually says.
Yes, sir.
So you said when you came before the board, you provided the prescription, sir?
Yes, sir.
So can I have refreshed my memory, sir? If the board revoked you and you provided a script for a scripture, what was the situation surrounding that?
To my understanding, the violation was the question whether I had medical appointments on my itinerary. And that was, to my understanding, it really wasn't clear. The violation report listed the positive test, and the warrant was issued because of that. See, I believe, Mr. Johnson, that initially the parole officer who initiated the violation, he wasn't really clear. He was filled in for Mr. Van Gundy when he went on vacation, which, as I explained, Mr. Van Gundy was aware of that medical appointment as well as the medication that was prescribed on October the 11th. When he went on vacation on October the 15th, there was another parole officer that was filling in for his caseload. And I'm only assuming that that parole officer, when he looked at my file to see who he was going to be seeing, which I was one of Mr. Van Gundy's caseloads, he saw that EUA, and he made a report on a violation that I tested positive for codeine. And he further stated that I was unable to provide a valid prescription for codeine, which, according to my copy of the request for warrant, but I have never spoken to this gentleman. To this day, I've never had a conversation with him. So I believe that it was just a mix-up or an error on his part that he wasn't aware that I did, in fact, have a prescription for the medication.
And you say someone brought that prescription in or what?
Yes, sir. Ms. Don Ham, she appeared on my behalf at that hearing, and I authorized her, and I believe that my wife, Evelyn, is present. She should be in the audit. The two of them I authorized because it's a medical confidential. She went and retrieved the prescription from the pharmacy because initially the prescription was done electronically. So in order for them to copy the prescription, I had to authorize someone to do that on my behalf since I was incarcerated. They retrieved the prescription and they presented it to the board on December 4th. And I have a copy here present with me.
So what was it that you also had a violation of leaving it out? Let me just make sure I get this right, so I'll make sure. Scheduled some blood work at the lab and x-rays,
day of the appointment, Mr. Poe finally answered the calls. And I explained to him that this was follow-up from the week before for the urgent care. So I believe that that is the issue of me leaving without permission. But like I said, beginning on the 15th, I made an attempt to contact the person who Mr. Van Gundy said that I should contact, which was Mr. Poe. Those were two follow-up appointments that was ordered by my doctor. If you would like her name.
Mr. Westby, would you have anything on this?
It's in there, but it's hard to find.
Some of this information, that you also had the incident where you went to Christown Mall. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And as I attempted to explain to the board, there were three things on my itinerary that I had given to Mr. Van Gundy prior to the 19th. And those three things were, I had wanted to go to traffic court to clear up some traffic warrants from 1990, the day that I was initially arrested. The second thing was needed to go to the bank because I had some money that was sent through a money order from my sister, Willie D. Collins. And the third thing was, I can't remember the third thing, but the appointments that my primary care, I asked that she schedule the appointments, make the appointments on route so that I didn't have to go all over the place to get to the medical appointments and the bank and the traffic court. When I do the appointments first, when I finish the appointments, the bank that I...
Okay, let me stop you real quick, okay? So I do see that you have the, that he makes note of the, you may have had the CT scan, but, you know, it says that you went to Christown Mall, Circle K, McDonald's, Ranch Market, and those were not approved. So I'm trying to understand. You're sticking to one thing, but you made several other stops that you weren't, and you had been advised not to take those stops before.
Yes, sir. Again, Mr. Johnson, if I may continue to explain the route, I'm traveling on a bus. Christown Mall, yes, that was for the bank. There's a bank on, I believe it's 19th and Bethany. When I got off the bus, it was almost 3:30. And I was afraid that I wasn't going to make it back to the residence. I did attempt to cash the money order and do an account because that was the bank on the same route from the appointments. So I avoided that. Reboarded the bus, returning back to my residence. I got off the bus. I believe it was right in front of a Circle K. I never went in a Circle K. That I got off the bus in front of the Circle K. I crossed the street, I think it's on 27th and Indian School, across the street. Once I reached the little plaza, there's a McDonald's. I could get a ride to the apartment, but she didn't explain that I needed to call 24 hours in advance. So I was waiting at the Ranch Market that morning initially for the ride to take me to the apartments, but that never happened. So I returned back to church on the street, got a bus pass, and I began the journey to those two scheduled appointments. But to stop at the McDonald's, these places, other than the Ranch Market, these are the places that I was either boarding the bus or getting off the bus in front of. I didn't enter the McDonald's or the Circle K, but I was in that vicinity. I got off the bus and on 27th Avenue and Indian School in front of the Circle K. I had to pass the Circle K in order to cross the street to the other side, in which that's where the church on the streets is. But I never entered any of those places at no time. Okay. But I was at the vicinity of those places.
Okay, so it says that October 15th, he was given permission to travel to the Phoenix Municipal Court to check out an outstanding traffic ticket, and then to the bank to check about opening an account. You were given from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. To do these things, and it says it was to only go to the bank and court. It said you never went to the Phoenix Municipal Court or the bank during that time. What'd you do?
I ran out of time, Mr. Johnson, when I went to those the x-rays and the CAT scan. I ran out of time.
But those are different dates, sir. Those are different dates. The x-ray was, I believe, at the 19th. This is the 15th when you were given permission to go to
the
court.
That's the date of the itinerary. It was for the 19th. See, at Church on the Street, the men that are in the program, they get their pass on a Thursday, the night, and it just so happens the day that I went to these appointments was on the 19th. But the itinerary is dated the 15th. That's the day that Mr. Van Gundy came and saw me at the church on the street. He let me know that he was going on vacation that Monday, which was the 16th. So that's the date that he took the itinerary, the written itinerary, which you just read off.
Okay, so you had from 8 o'clock in the morning, right, to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You didn't go to the hospital until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes, like I said, I was waiting for the ride that my doctor said that I could catch the ride up on the corner at the farmer's market. But she didn't explain that I needed to schedule the ride 24 hours in advance. So I wasted time waiting for a ride that never...
But you went these other places before you went there, though.
I went to the other places before I went where?
It says that confirmed that you were from 9:30 to 11:05. You had that at 9:30, then they traveled to and from. You went to the Ranch Market.
Waiting for the ride to take me to the appointment.
And then you
had... The ride never came because I didn't schedule it 24 hours in advance. I didn't know this. She didn't explain that you have to make that appointment for a ride to pick you up and carry you to the appointment.
Well, why,
24 hours.
Why would they not come to your location and go to and instead go to Ranch Market?
Well, that's where everyone makes... At the church on the streets, everything is pretty much, the Ranch Market is a place where everyone knows the Ranch Market. That's where you make your transportation or whatever. That's what I was advised to do. I was only doing what I was told to do at the program, Mr. Johnson. That's why I wasted that time from the beginning of my scheduled pass from Church on the Streets. That's why I wasted that time at the Ranch Market waiting for the ride to take beats it on the appointment. And they never showed up. I went back to church on the street, and I bought a bus pass. And I go back to 35th Union School, and I caught the bus. That's when I went on the journey for the two visits for the CAT scan and the lab work. And in doing those things, I ran out of time to go to the traffic court. But coming from the last appointment, which was on 60-something I don't have the address right at hand. On my way, return back. That's why I attempted to make the bank to get the account and get the money or the cash at 19th and Bethany Hall, because there is a Chase Bank right on the corner there.
Okay. So let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
You know, and your parole officer have talked to you about the importance of making sure that you stick with your daily itinerary. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Going after being counseled and talked to by the parole officer, why would you deviate from that? Without the authority, why would you deviate from that?
Well, I did make contact with Mr. Poe between the first appointment and the second appointment. And this is the conversation that I had with Mr. Poe. When he answered the phone, all that week, every call that I made, I was always advised, when you make a call, you give your name and your DOC number. I did that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. On Thursday, Mr. Poe finally answered when I was leaving the first appointment. On my way to the second appointment, I identified who I was. He said, yes, I saw your calls. I said, yes, I've been trying to make contact with you all week because I had these appointments that were scheduled by my doctor. And his response was, well, I saw the number, but I don't respond to out-of-state numbers. The phone that I had, it was provided by my sister, Willie Collins, and it obviously has an out-of-state number. But he should have known that I was a poor lead because I always identify myself by leaving my DOC number. So that was his response, why he never responded to any of my calls. So I attempted. It wasn't that I just ignored all of the advice by Mr. Van Gundy. I mean, I thought that I was doing the right thing by trying to contact the person who Mr. Van Gundy said that I should contact, but he never responded. He never answered my calls. I made the attempt to try to get this okay at the beginning of that week, all through that week, up until that day of the appointments, when he, like I said, he finally answered the call, but he said the reason why he never responded because he doesn't respond to out-of-state numbers.
Okay, so but Mr. Van Gundy, before he went on vacation, says he told you three times not to deviate from that itinerary. And
yes,
a face-to-face visit,
he says, if anything does change, make sure you contact one of these two parole officers, which I did.
You made attempts, but his instructions to you was not to deviate unless you had permission. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So let me see if the board has any additional questions for you at this point. Go ahead, Mr. Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Dell. You keep talking around the issue, as I see the issue. And the issue is that you were violating home arrest twice since you were granted home arrest twice. The first time you violated youth alcohol, and then you were denied any kind of release between then and when this one came up. This one you will revoke. initially, there was two allegations. One was the use of cocaine. In the packet, there was a copy of the prescription, and I kind of remember the hearing, having sat on the board where I voted the last time. Sir, I'm trying to speak, okay?
I'm sorry.
When we voted the last time, and so if you take away the lack of prescription, which was that one allegation, and you still have the one allegation, which is an extremely grave allegation, because when you're on home arrest, you have an itinerary that you cannot break except in emergencies or when you get previous approval. And when you talk to parole officer code, you're regardless of people not answering the phone, not returning the calls, or anything else, you have not gotten permission to violate or change that itinerary on the 19th. And when you say you went to the first appointment and then you called, and that first appointment was a violation of your itinerary. And so you, on the 19th, you didn't make an attempt to try to clear it before you violated your itinerary. You called him and he said he can't approve it. And that you, there were things you would have to do to get any alteration in your itinerary approved. Yet after talking to parole officer Probe and being told that, you continue to violate your itinerary, and you didn't even go to at least one, the municipal court, which sounds like it would have been a priority for you if you were running out of warrants. You didn't even get close to that one. All these other appointments are quite a few miles away from the municipal court. Now, I do have a question. Kristen, did you say that's where there was a bank you went into? Because you were leaving, is that the location that you were authorized to go into?
There wasn't a specific bank.
Well, you have to give a location, you have to give your PO a location on the itinerary, or they won't approve it, because they don't know where you're going to go. You say, oh yeah, you can go to a bank, but you end up in Farmington, New Mexico, at a bank. Is that a violation of your itinerary? No. It's a violation of leaving the state without, but well, even that might not be. So that's why they don't let you say, oh, okay, you can go to a bank. Okay, they're very specific about the details. But the point is, okay, so I'll give you a Chris down. You went to the bank. Now you were approved to go to a bank. You didn't get close to this court, and you were at the ranch market for an hour and a half, which was not on your itinerary. And if you've got to wait there for approved transportation to some medical facility, the medical facility, the appointment was on your itinerary, waiting that ranch market was not on your itinerary, an hour at 19th Avenue in Camelback was not on your itinerary, 10 minutes at Christown was not on your itinerary. So, regardless of the drugs or your shoes or anything else, you very seriously violated your itinerary, and that's why you were revoked the last time. It's because you violated your itinerary. And with the two times you've been revoked, I just can't see how you can show us that you understand that you can follow the rules, because you didn't follow the rules either time.
May I respond, sir?
Yes, sir.
I did make contact with Mr. Poole.
Mm-hmm.
I did attempt to contact him by phone prior to going to the appointment.
Okay.
I'm not trying to make any excuses.
Well, that's all you've been doing, sir, is making excuses.
Well, I thought that I was explaining.
Well, you're explaining that you contacted him. So you admit that you talked to Officer Pope on the 19th after you had already violated your itinerary, and that he said he couldn't authorize you to do that, but you could. So you were told, no, you can't do that. And so you didn't go to court. You just go all these other places. Okay, and you've explained that. So you don't need to explain that anymore. Do you have something else that might convince me that you understand these rules and don't intend to violate
them? Yes, I do understand the rules. If my intentions were to disregard the rules, I'm sure that I would have done something really stupid. But I'm making every attempt to do what the program is asking me to do. And even before I do what they ask me to do, I make sure that I contact my parole officer that what they're asking me to do, that it's not a violation of my conditions. There's a lot of things that go on at the program that I make sure that I ask Mr. Van Gundy, is this okay first?
Excuse me, when you ask Mr. Van Gundy if it's okay, if he says yes, then you do it. If he says no, what do? Do you still go out and violate the itinerary like you did on the 19th, or do you follow his instructions and don't violate your itinerary and don't do something that's not on your, within the, you know, the limits of your conditions of release?
Well, I wouldn't blatantly violate anything that he says, OLAS don't do that.
Okay, well, you admitted that you talked to Parole Officer Poe, and he said, no, you can't do any of those variations. So is it that you only listened to Officer Van Gundy? Because you certainly didn't listen to Officer Poe when he said no. You continued, you made one violation, you called him and talked to him, and then you continued on your day of violating your itinerary and not even going to the main place. So, I don't quite understand your justifications. You're trying, you're attempting, you're making every effort, but you didn't on the 19th, that it was after you were told no.
I wasn't told no. Even in the violation report, Mr. Poe, I assume that he's the one that wrote this, there's no name on it. He said these appointments can be excused. Those are the only two things that I discussed with Mr. Poe, because the other things, the traffic court and the bank, that was on the itinerary. So the only two things that I had a conversation with Mr. Poe was the two appointments that the doctor had scheduled. Yes. I understand that those were not on the itinerary that I gave Mr. Van Gundy on Sunday, because the doctor didn't tell me until Monday that I have these scheduled appointments for Thursday, October the 19th. See, that's the only day that the residents in this program can do anything, is on their once a week pass. You can't do it any other time during the week. It has to be on the day of the pass from the program.
Well, let me ask you a question about that then. When you found out that it was on Thursday and that's the only day that you can do it, did it ever cross your mind that since it wasn't on your itinerary, that you could put it on your itinerary for the following week and say something to the facility? I can't go. That's not within the condition of my release. I have an ankle bracelet. I can't go there without, you know, a week's prior approval. And I, you know, they've been along with the program. They understand the home arrest and everything else. Most of the parolees and stuff they deal with don't have ankle bracelet. They can shift their itinerary without getting anybody but the house's permission.
Yes, sir. I left the farmer's market and returned back to the program to get a bus pass. I checked in with the physician who has a clinic there, and I explained to her, there's no one there to pick me up. What do I do now? She says, well, the appointments are scheduled. You can get a bus pass. She provided the bus pass for me.
Did you explain to her that you had an ankle bracelet and so you're very restricted on when you can do things?
Yes, sir. She was very aware of that. I was on ankle bracelet.
Well, I'm sure she didn't make an effort to convince you to break the rules with the parole office because of your appointment with the clinic. Okay, I didn't have any further questions, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, Redhouse.
I need to borrow the mic, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Got to act like I'm not using your mic.
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Can I ask Mr. Westby and just his expertise on this?
Yeah.
And that is, what I don't know is, Mr. Westby, is it common that when someone gets off a bus in front of a McDonald's, that the GPS shows that they're in the McDonald's?
No, because the GPS is accurate to so many feet from your location. And as far as when he was at the McDonald's, I mean, there's actually time on there where for how long you want each location on there, so they also take that into account. But as far as his positioning, McDonald's would not be on the curb. It's going to be.
So the GPS is accurate enough that to show that he went into the McDonald's?
Within, I believe, approximately 7 feet.
7 feet, not 70 feet, 7 feet.
Correct.
Okay, thank you, sir. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, so I just, Mr. Neal asked you a question on, it's extremely important that you follow and you stick to your itinerary when given an issue. When you're on home arrest, you're still just like you're in custody, like you're still in prison, with the exception that you're on home arrest, that you have to follow all mandatory itineraries that you actually on. So Mr. Neal asked you a question, sir, that if you were on home arrest again, how would we know that this situation wouldn't continue to occur?
Well, for one, Mr. Johnson, believe me, this experience has been a learning experience. I don't want to be in prison, and I'm not testing the limits of the rules of house arrest. I assure you that if I went home arrest or any other type of release this day, I assure you that I will follow every rule. I won't do anything, absolutely nothing, without the approval of my supervising parole officer. This experience, even though it may seem that the technical violation is minor, I know how important that it is to follow every rule that my parole officer tells me that I must follow. Now granted, from the first time I was on home arrest, there has been some changes that were made to the home arrest. And I'm not making excuses, it's not an excuse that all of these things, the changes are not in the rules that I signed, but Mr. Van Gundy, he went over a lot of the changes. I know how important it is to follow the rules as the parole officer explains. And again, if I'm granted release, I would never deviate from any itinerary, anything that I'm supposed to do. I will make sure that I'm on time. I will make sure that I'm back where I'm supposed to be. And first and foremost, I will make sure that my parole officer has authorized everything that I do.
Okay, so let me just tell you kind of what I'm trying to really understand what you're doing, and you have this monitor on, and you were only authorized that day to go to the bank and go to the municipal court, and it doesn't appear that you made any effort to go to the bank or the municipal court, although I'm going back over the information that we have. There is a bank in 19th Avenue in Bethlehem. There is a bank there, but it doesn't even show you going into that bank. It shows you going into Christown Mall for about 20 minutes, which is not the actual bank. The bank is on the, I think, on Michael Corner, on the outskirts of Christown Mall, and the bank at Christown Mall is inside, but you would have had to go past the bank in order to do that. So the problem that I'm having, sir, is just trying to understand what you were doing and trying to make sure that you weren't out there doing something wrong while you were out there. So that's the problem that I'm having, and you're not providing the explanation. I do understand about having to go to take the CT exam, but you didn't go take that till, I think it was like, if I go back over, like maybe 2 in the afternoon or something, later on in the afternoon. And even though you say you went to Ranch Market to get wait on a ride there at Ranch Market. If your appointment wasn't until 2 o'clock, you were at Ranch Market really, really early, but you didn't make any effort to go downtown to the city municipal court, which you were authorized to do. I understand all the things you had to do, but I'm not getting a clear understanding of why you made the movements that you actually made to justify your violation of not following through on what the parole officer told you. But I'm having some issues with that, and I'm not going to keep going over it because it's kind of getting redundant, but I'm having an issue with that. You do have a security here.
If I may, Mr. Johnson, there were two appointments. Not only was it a CAT scan, but I went to the lab. They took 7 vials of blood. That was prior to the CAT scan.
Okay, but you spent a lot of time doing other things before that, sir, is what I'm saying. What time was your appointment at the hospital?
I don't recall exactly what the
You don't recall what time your appointment time was, sir?
No, because she didn't specifically say do the lab first or the x-rays.
What was your appointment time to be at the hospital? What time was you supposed to be there?
I really don't know if there was an exact time, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, all right. Sir, let me just, I think all of us are old enough that we've been through some medical procedures. You cannot just walk into the hospital and get a CT scan. I mean, those things are done by appointment only. And so
there wasn't a CT scan, it was x-rays.
Okay.
Not x-rays. It wasn't a CT, it wasn't a CAT scan. I don't know where CAT scan came from. It was x-rays.
Okay. Let me just go there. I think Mr. Quinones had a question then, sir. I'm just going to go to, I think you have two supporters here, Ms. Gibby and Ms. Gaston. Regina, it looks like Regina, granddaughter.
Raina.
Is it Raina?
Yes.
Okay. Your granddaughter, Raina, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Mr.
Quinones. I'll keep it quick, Mr. Johnson. Mr. McFall?
Yes, sir.
I do want to commend you on a couple of points. One, you've been very polite to the board and calm, considering how much we've really had to dig into this itinerary issue. And you stated something earlier, and I just want to make sure that we're clear. There's a little bit of learning, at least for me as one board member. We try to do this. We try to say this when we grant the rest. But the one thing you didn't say, and I'm hoping that you'll embrace, regardless of how we vote today, how we vote in the future, is that when you're on the rest, you're still an inmate. And you know, we're kind of careful with that word, because we're sensitive to you as a person. You know, you're Mr. McFall. But unfortunately, when you're on home arrest, you are still an inmate of the Department of Corrections. And I think there's a segment of people who we grant home arrest to that just, for some reason, I think there's almost a mental block. I think in their mind, they're on they have greater freedom and like a more of a regular parole mentality. And I just can't emphasize enough how important it is that you understand that you're still an inmate when you're on home arrest status. So I know I'm going to do the talking here. I did want to commend you for being so polite, though. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Okay, we're going to go to your supporters first, and I don't know who wants to speak first. Ms. Gibby, did you want to speak first, or?
I got drunk. I just had a stroke.
Okay.
Anyway,
Good morning. My name is Evelyn Skibby, and I'm here to support, in support of Mr. Olus and Fell for Peru. I am deaf. I really didn't really hear much what was going on. There's something about a prescription, which I thought was resolved in the last one. The word set up at Church on the Street, where he was on parole, they have one man in charge of everybody's medicines. And he told Mr. Van Gundy, his parole officer, you know, said he tested, you know, positive, I guess it was codeine, talent number three, whatever it was. Anyway, I think his name was Joe, the guy in charge of medicines, he said, Van Gundy said, just take a cell phone, have him take a cell phone photo, because he's not allowed to have a cell phone, except on Thursdays when he can go out. And that's it, just send me the copy of the prescription on the cell phone. And for some reason he didn't do it. I talked to the man, and I've got so many patients, I don't remember. So I rushed down to the Walgreens, Crosstown, and they gave me a photocopy of the actual prescription. And I had it presented here last time I was here that he did have a bad prescription for that. So I thought that was resolved. But anyway, getting back, Mr. McFell, he had at the last hearing, he had two unauthorized medical visits on March 11th. And I guess after 11 months, it took us 11 months to get back to you, I'm sure he's come to terms that prior authorized approval trumps back pain. Even if the parole officer doesn't call, that means just forget it, you know, until you can get that. And I think he understands now doing that. He has to get prior approval because he's on an ankle brace, bracelet. And anyway, he transgressed, he broke the rules. But it's not like he's done something criminal, but he did break the rules, okay? He has been coping with back pain for years, even in prison. And he hasn't had the medical care he needed all these years. And I have been reading newspapers, and there's been articles about, which you should have in your packet, about being sued over inadequate prison care. There's been several articles. Anyway, prison bars filled with blame for inmate care issues. And just last week, there was a smart thing that they did see the prison over medical care. So, he does have problems. He's got nerve pain, and when I visited him, I looked at his back. I could see the two bulging discs in his back. I'd like for him to be free finally to get the medical care he needs. And I would like to suggest maybe instead of home arrest, have extended parole. Just a consideration. I want to add a sobering thought. I actually want to thank you for saving his life. At the time he ended up in prison, divide over, I doubt he'd be alive today. I doubt he would be alive today because he was literally killing himself on drugs. And he's been free now of drug use for years. He's turned his life around. He's been redeemed, and he does have a religious life now. I mean, an active religious life. I can see the difference. He doesn't just confess, but he's more active in his religious aspect, his spiritual. And this is the Department of Corruptions, okay? Corruptions. And I feel he has been, after all these years, rehabilitated. So you have achieved your goals. And at this point, as an aged inmate and with medical issues and pain, I feel prolonged imprisonment serves no useful purpose. And in fact, would be detrimental to his physical and his psychological health by institutionalizing him and crushing all his hopes and dreams. So just take it into the picture. I just respectfully request you get Mr. Otis McPhail parole. He did had established some relationships with his grandkids while he was out. They do miss him. And thank you for your consideration.
Does the board have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. You don't want to say that.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, so I can live up to my obligation to write that phone call so that we can see.
When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Who's calling? This is again, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency calling. Reference the hearing, parole hearing for your brother, Mr. McFarland. The hearing is coming close to an end, but if you get this message from the next minute or so, please give us a call at 602-542-5656. That's 602-542-5656. Thank you so very much, and please have a great morning. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, so we tried to get a hold to his sister again and still was unable to contact his sister. So we're going to go ahead. We're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Mr. McBride, do you have anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Yes, sir, Mr. Johnson. I'd just like to extend one of the important issues that Ms. Gibby did touch on. You know, at 60 years old, I have a lot of health issues that that I guess once you reach 60 or you get older, you start to go through a deterioration of your body. And I've been dealing with this sciatica and nerve pain for many years, and I really do need some medical treatment. And one of the things that was mentioned by my primary care doctor is that they're the only available alternative may be some type of surgery. My spine is deteriorating, spills up of all kinds of calcium deposits, and it's been going untreated for so many years once it was diagnosed in 1998. And I would like to ask that the board take in consideration that I'm not the 32-year-old man with the mindset of 28 years ago. I have 14 grandchildren that I've finally began to make relationships with, and they accept their grandfather, and with the support of my wife and my children, I just ask that the board take into consideration that I'm 60 years old, and I'm not that person that I used to be. I put God foremost in my life, and as Ms. Gibby said, at one time, you know, my life was a wreck. I no longer have that mindset. I've been drug-free for almost 15 years, and I just would like for the board to really consider that if you're willing to give me another opportunity, whether it's home arrest or a parole, there's nothing that I would put before following the rules that outlines the conditions of my release. My family, they need me, and I'm hoping that you will return me back to either the church on the streets. If that's not an option, I have a home address with my wife and my grandkids, but I really would like to complete the program that I started when I was first released on home arrest. I would really like to continue and complete that program, because I made a commitment, a written commitment between me and God, and I really would like to fulfill that. Thank you.
Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to stay on the phone, however, remain silent while the board's in discussion. We will make a determination as to either grant you or deny you home arrest, regular parole, or an absolute discharge, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, so the board is now going into to discussion. I do understand about Mr. McCall's medical needs. I just have I'm having some issue trying to understand that he was out once and he was revoked for drinking, and he's out the second time and he was revoked for not following the rules. I don't know exactly what he was doing out there, but it is clear that he did not, you know, attempt to go to the municipal court or to a bank where he had the authorization to actually go to. I do understand he has some medical problems. He did test negative for, he had a six labs, I think it was, if I read right, and if I recall right, that he had, that he tested negative for all six doses. He does have a history of drug use and a history for robbery and armed robbery, and that, you know, he's hanging around these other facilities in Christown Mall and Circle K store, and which I think was a convenience store that he's incarcerated for now that he actually robbed. So those things still concern me. I'm willing to listen to the rest of the board to see, and I'm not just totally convinced that Mr. McFaul, if he gets out, that he's going to, follow the rules, that he's going to follow the itinerary that he's actually listed for. But I do understand that he didn't commit a crime. He did test negative for his drugs while he was actually there. He was staying at a facility. He didn't have any violation. The codeine was with a prescription, so that was tested. It does show that you could heroin within the first 24 hours, test for heroin, and then it would metabolize into something else, and it could metabolize to actually being codeine after that. So there are some questions that come in to debate about it, but I think I'm kind of open at this time with Mr. McPaul. Mr. Neal?
Well, this one's actually the third time he's violated parole in his life. He was on parole when he got caught and tried and convicted, and that's the reason he got his long sentence. But he went out, my mind says that if I'm released on home arrest and the board said, alcohol or drugs, I'm going to drink alcohol, he's out 3 months on that. Got home arrest. Then he was back in jail only for 9 months when he was granted home arrest the last time. And none of this on this particular day is mercy, but really, upsets me, but makes me feel that he really doesn't understand the rules have to be followed, is that he talked to Peter Probe on the phone, who said, "I cannot authorize any of these changes, and you can't do them without authorization." He went ahead, and if he just said, "Okay," and went to the municipal court, okay, the first one, not a big deal. But he continued after talking to Officer Probe, and continued the violation, so I just don't think he's quite ready for another chance at home arrest at this time.
Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. What I thought was true, what I asked Mr. Westby, and that is that the GPS is very accurate, and within 7 feet, and so the bus stop is way farther than 7 feet from the store, so I have a feeling we're not getting to a story, so I don't think it's there of any sort of
Mr. Canales?
I think Mr. McFaul shows promise, but I don't know if he's ready to return to the community at this point until he's really ready to embrace that he's still an inmate when he's on home arrest.
Dr.
I feel that Mr. McFaul is really, and it might not be his fault, it might be his mindset, but he's not really telling the whole story to this world. And that concerns me. And after twice being on home arrest and violating, I just cannot agree at this time. Therefore, I'm not in favor at this time, sir.
That's why I am going to just make a motion to deny Mr. McFaul home arrest, regular parole, or an absolute discharge. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal. Agree, Dr. Wright. Agree, Mr. Quinones. And agree, Ms. Rittenhouse. I am going to ask for a one-year set-off.
Agree.
Agree. I'm going to that is marked for the reasons for denials is a serious and violent offense. I'm going to mark multiple victims because there were more than one robbery during this period of time. Let's put that he did violate.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm so sorry, sir. That's my fault. Sir, the board has voted to deny you regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge. Motion was made by myself. It was second by Mr. Neal. Agreed with Dr. Wright. Agreed with Mr. Quinones. Agreed with Ms. Rittenhouse. We did mark it for a one-year set-off. The reasons for denial, sir, are that it was a serious and violent offense, that there were multiple victims, as there were more than one robbery that occurred. Violated previous probation or parole. I'm not going to mark a history of continued substance abuse because you haven't, according to what we have, been using any drugs more recent that you have good. I am going to mark that you did have a prior criminal history.
I'm sorry, Mr. Johnson. I'm only in here for one robbery, an attempted robbery.
I know, sir, but during that period of time, there was several robberies that occurred that involved where you get it, so I because of the agreement that was made once you were convicted, sir. Okay?
I don't understand what I don't understand. I'm incarcerated for one count of attempted robbery.
Hold on 1 minute, sir.
Mr. Johnson, it's just a score by Shabrina.
Okay. We can put a call.
Okay.
Well, we already voted.
That's the reason I was asking what it means. I don't think it would be appropriate.
No, we've already voted.
I don't think it would be appropriate to make that phone call.
Mr.
when will I I see the board again?
Sir, you will be certified by the parole Department of Corrections to come back before this board in about a year or somewhere around the year. You will be certified. It's up to the Department of Corrections as to when they will certify you, but it will be on or about a year from now.
All right, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
All right, thank you, sir. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time.
Would you put the seal back in your form, sir?